From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, October 14th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Another deadly shooting involving police has occurred in Maine, the fourth in less than a month. Carol Bousquet reports.
When Augusta Police Sergeant Christopher Blodgett and Officer Sebastian Guptill arrived at the Bread of Life Ministry homeless shelter Wednesday night, they found one man injured and 34-year-old Dustin Paradis allegedly brandishing a knife. Police say when the officers confronted Paradis, things escalated quickly and both officers fired, killing Paradis at the scene. The Maine Attorney General's Office says the Augusta case is the 10th shooting involving police officers in Maine this year, doubling the number of cases reported last year. Augusta Police Chief Jared Mills says dangerous confrontations between police and the public are occurring more frequently.
Summertime, call it July on, our calls have increased exponentially, and the danger's even worse now too. So I don't know what the cause of all this is, but I can tell you that's real and true, that we're seeing more and more dangerous calls at this time.
Chief Mills says a mental health worker with the police department could not get to the scene quickly enough to help the officers, who had little time to react. Neither Blodgett nor Guptill was injured, and both are on paid administrative leave while the Attorney General's office investigates the case to determine whether deadly force was justified. Mills says this is the first shooting incident for Blodgett and the second for Guptill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Maine is reporting 799 new coronavirus infections today. That brings the 7-day average of new cases to 393. That's a slight uptick from yesterday, but the number has been trending downward for the last 2 weeks. The Maine CDC says 5 more people have died from the disease. There were 168 people hospitalized with COVID-19 yesterday. 60 were in critical care and 29 were on ventilators. The number of people filing first-time claims for state unemployment benefits rose last week to 802. The state labor department says the rise is in line with the normal increase seen each year due to seasonal layoffs. Former CMP President David Flanagan has died. Flanagan had a varied public career, aide to Governor Joe Brennan, interim president of the University of Southern Maine, and was twice placed in charge of Central Maine Power. In his first stint, he led the utility through the 1998 ice storm and improved its reputation. Nearly 2 years ago, Flanagan was summoned back to a CMP battered by a botched computer billing rollout and other missteps. He described the task before him.
To restore public trust in an organization that is critical to the well-being and success of the people of Maine.
Flanagan, ill with cancer, turned over the reins recently to a new president. He was 74. A coalition of advocacy organizations in Maine is trying to ensure that all eligible families receive the next enhanced child tax credit payment, which will be sent out tomorrow. Households that don't file taxes may not know that they qualify for the monthly federal payments, says Claude Raganja of Prosperity Maine.
We want to make sure that every family is aware of this tax credit, and if they cannot access it, to reach out to organizations like Prosperity Maine so that we can help them access the benefits that they're eligible for.
The enhanced child tax credit will expire in January, but President Biden wants to extend the payments for several years. According to the White House, most families receive monthly payments between $200 and $300 per child. Maine health officials and Governor Janet Mills touted the advantages of Maine's newly announced state-run health insurance marketplace at an event on Thursday. Meg Garrett-Reed, the acting director of the state's Office of the Health Insurance Marketplace, says that customers can more easily estimate costs of each plan and look into potential financial assistance online. And she says that the state is increasing funding for outreach, a dedicated helpline, and bringing on more groups to help customers navigate the marketplace.
they're focused on a population and want to provide targeted outreach, targeted enrollment assistance, for example, in languages other than English. This is a new opportunity for them to receive funding.
Residents can begin to look at plans beginning tomorrow at coverme.gov, and open enrollment will run from November 1st through January 15th. In the weather tonight, cloudy statewide with a few sprinkles and some light fog, lows in the high 40s to mid-50s north to south. Tomorrow, a bit cooler and cloudy with some isolated showers, highs in the upper 50s in the north to the low 70s in the south. On Monday, federal regulators will close a big swath of Maine's coastal waters to traditional lobster and crab harvests. It's an effort to protect endangered North Atlantic right whales from entanglement in fishing gear. But in Maine, many lobstermen fear it's the beginning of the end of a way of life. Fred Bever reports.
North Atlantic right whales got their name because they swim slowly, and once killed, they float, making them the right animal for 19th century whalers to target. Now, there are fewer than 370 left on the planet, and they may be on the final road to extinction. Today's threats come from ship strikes and entanglements with the rope fishermen use to mark and haul their traps.
So right whales are plankton feeders, so they're sort of going through the water like a lawnmower, you know, back and forth, looking for patches of plankton. Mouth wide open.
The New England Aquarium's Amy Knowlton, who does a lot of her work in Maine, says the number of traps licensed for Maine boats stands at nearly 3 million. So whales swimming in some areas off the state's coast, she says, face dangerous fields of vertical rope that stretch from traps below to buoys above.
They're probably hitting gear pretty often, but when it gets into the mouth and it gets hooked into that baleen and then they start pulling on it, they're going to freak out and start wrapping up in that gear, and it's just horrendous what these whales are experiencing.
Within 10 years, federal regulators are calling for a radical reduction in the use of gear rope, aiming to squeeze the risk of harm to right whales down to near zero. It's a transformation lobstermen fear could kill the industry. And the regulations kick in next week with a four-month ban on trap rope in nearly 1,000 square miles of prime lobster grounds off Maine. Federal scientists say it's a hot spot where whales and gear from at least 60 lobster boats could cross paths.
I mean, it's probably 30% of our income. I mean, it might be even more than that.
Lobsterman Richard Larrabee Jr. and his two sternmen are delivering their haul from his spotless 42-foot boat, the Rock Bottom, to a buyer's platform near Stonington, the nation's largest lobster port.
Those months are crucial. Close an area like that, it doesn't just hurt the people that fish there, it hurts the people that fish above there because you got to go someplace.
Larrabee is one of many around here who've taken big loans to buy big boats suited for work far offshore, where as the oceans warmed, lobster populations have boomed. The fishermen's success has rippled through coastal economies, and now anger about the new gear rules could be heard up and down the supply chain. Larrabee hints he just might keep on fishing in the restricted zone.
I can't incriminate myself, but we're gonna fight it. We're gonna fight it, and I'm gonna stand with the fishermen. Whatever they wanna do, we're gonna do.
Other fishermen who drop traps in the restricted zone sound less militant, but still deeply frustrated. Dustin Delano is a Friendship lobsterman, and he's vice president of the Maine Lobstermen's Association. He says the Fed's 10-year plan to reduce risk for the whales by 98% could end the fishery.
I think about my future, for sure, and my friends around here, family. I think probably every day about what else I could do, what else I will do if it comes to that, because I see it as being more likely every time there's a new ruling or more regulation put in place.
I'm hearing this sucks and we'll deal with it, to you're going to have to come kick me out of there because I feel like I've got the right to fish here.
Patrick Kelleher heads Maine's Department of Marine Resources, and he's tasked with enforcing the new rules, even though he opposes most of them. Kelleher says that while Maine's lobstermen are adaptable entrepreneurs who have enjoyed record landings this last decade, it's still an industry at risk.
Anytime I hear people saying, oh, look at these people, they're just crying, they're fine, they've made all this money. Okay, well, the groundfish industry made all that money at one time, right? And now look at where we are with the groundfish. These are always boom and bust industries.
He and other industry defenders say federal regulators are overstating the Maine lobster fleet's share of risk to the right whales, and they point to evidence that climate change is pushing right whales to forage north of here, up to Canadian waters, where most recent whale mortalities have been discovered. But right now, conservation groups are asking a federal judge to order a new analysis of the whale's prospects, and they're looking for a more robust recovery plan. They see promise in new high-tech ropeless gear that fishermen could track and trigger to the surface electronically. It will be permitted in restricted zones such as the new one off Maine and another even larger one that will be imposed off Massachusetts in February. Marine scientist Amy Knowlton says the technology could help protect all types of whales and endangered turtles, too.
There's a lot of hard work to do to fix this problem. It's not just a East Coast U.S. problem or Canadian problem. It's on the West Coast. It's around the world, frankly. And if we can address it here and help this fishery transition, they'll be the heroes.
A handful of lobstermen are trying out the new gear alongside their traditional systems, but many think it won't work in a lot of open ocean situations, is far too expensive, and is not advancing fast enough to solve the problem anytime soon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And a federal judge in Bangor is set to hear oral arguments on Friday morning on a request by the Maine Lobstering Union for a temporary injunction against the new restricted zone. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on the next Maine Calling, Friday at 11 o'clock, the topic is grammar, the role it plays in speech and writing, and what counts as right versus wrong. That's tomorrow at 11 o'clock on Maine Public Radio. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.